Be opening your Bibles to Ephesians 2. How many of y'all enjoyed the 8:30 service Sunday morning? Hallelujah. Now, the title of that message was called Sent from Heaven. And it's just a short little two-page thing that I wrote. It came in kind of a vision form. But I'll tell you, there is just a whole bunch of the born-again trail in that vision. And he brought it down into such a simple level that even I could understand it. Once I can understand it, trust me, virtually anybody can understand it then. See? Well, tonight's going to be Sent from Heaven, part two. Because I've had some more time now to pray and meditate and think about this. I'm telling you, if we ever can really get this mindset in us, it's going to change everything. I believe this not necessarily, it's not the messenger ever, it's the message. But I think this understanding is going to cause a revolution in the body of Christ. I believe it's going to deliver us from our own flakiness. Make us true, anointed servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the Father's will can really be done in this earth like He intended from the beginning. Now, if you didn't get that, if you weren't here, who wasn't here 8:30 Sunday morning? By the way, y'all need to welcome this Dana and Kelly, move. Are y'all here permanently now? Moved from South Bend, Indiana. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all get to know them. Pray for them now because you know the impasses are coming. You know what they're in for. Pray for them. I'm serious. But I am impressed with people that'll just pick up and move because they honestly believe that's the will of the Lord for them. And their heart is more set on serving the kingdom than anything else. They'll do to take along, I'll tell you right now, as we'd say down home. They'll do to take along, I'll tell you. Well, anyway, now, I suggest you get that 8:30 service because there's some things that I said in there. I had an hour, introduced that. I'm going to read it again here in just a moment. Then we're going to go into some things that we didn't get to talk about Sunday morning. Now, the reason I'd like for you to have that tape, there's some things on there that I emphasized, some things that I said that I'm just not going to have time to relay that foundation. If I do it exactly like I did Sunday morning, we'll have a duplicate and we won't have progressed any. So we're all going to go through enough of it because I want to get your mind there again. I want to take you right down that same path and get your mind thinking like we were thinking Sunday morning. And then we're going to look at some ramifications of that and how that's going to affect our lives and change us. Amen? Hallelujah. So here we go with Sent from Heaven, Part 2. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, to launch this, verses 5 and 6. And actually, before the Lord, this was the verse where He launched the vision. But what I had really been praying about was Jesus' high priestly prayer over in John 17. Because He kept talking about He was going to sanctify Himself for our sakes. And I couldn't figure that out. Because Jesus always lived a sanctified life. I mean, He was never, He was tempted, the Bible says, by the world, but He never sinned. So He always, you can watch His life all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was always sanctified. So my question was, when He was praying to the Father, I sanctify myself for their sake. I'm going, how can you sanctify something that's already sanctified? He's always lived sanctified. I couldn't understand what that meant. And then He said other things in that passage, like, just like You sent Me into the world, I'm sending these into the world. And not only these, but all that will believe on Me through their word. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And I knew there was something powerful there. I've always known there was something really going on that I wasn't quite getting. Well, and quickly, yes, Jesus did lead a sanctified life in this sin-sick world, the same one we live in. Now, the question is, born-again trail people, how did He do that? How did He have the power to live sanctified from all the evil in the world? By the new nature, by that life that was in Him. That's why He said, I am from above. The Spirit that was in Him did not come from the first man, Adam. It was not the spirit of the world that had the law of sin and death in it. No, His Spirit came directly from heaven. spawned by the Holy Ghost, conceived in the womb of Mary by the Word of God. Amen? By the power of that life, the strength, the nature of it, if you will, the character of that life He had within Himself, that's how He lived, sanctified, for all of the 33 and a half years that He lived in the flesh on this earth. But now He says, I'm going to sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified. All right? Now, if the only way Jesus could do it, what made Him unique and different, was that life He had on the inside of Himself, then how in the world could we possibly live a sanctified life? Wouldn't we have to have the same kind of life within ourselves? And that's why He was sanctifying Himself. What He was talking about, that's the high priestly prayer just hours before the cross. And He's saying, in my present form, yes, I can lead a sanctified life because I have a spirit in me from above. These do not. Everybody else on planet Earth has the spirit of the world, and that the strength is not there to live sanctified. In my present form, as I exist right now as a human before the cross, with the life in me from above, I'm only one. There's only one human on the face of the earth that can truly lead a sanctified life. But Father, I'm going to finish the work that You gave me to do. I'm going to endure the cross, the burial, and then the resurrection. Then I'm coming all the way to heaven. I'm going to be changed because You're going to glorify me, Father, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. And in that form, Father, once I'm glorified, then the life that I have in myself, anyone that calls upon My name, I will give for them to have that life in themselves. Then You're going to have a multitude of people who will also be born from above and have that same life in themselves. And they can live sanctified from the world by the same strength and nature that I live sanctified from the world. For they, now He could truly say, for they're not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. Is that good stuff or what? We had church just right there, didn't we? All right, now, with that thinking in mind, now we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And this is where He launched the vision for me. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath, and if you underline anything in your Bible, if you mark it, I would, there's three phrases I would underline in this verse, or these verses. He hath quickened us together. I'd underline those three words. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Boy, you got that right. And hath, He didn't just quicken us together. Now, this blows our mind a little bit, but it says He's raised us up together, and I'd underline that. He didn't just make us alive. He raised us up. You say, no, He didn't. Yes, He did. Well, no, He didn't. Charlie says, no, He didn't. I'm sitting here in His chair. I'm on the earth. He didn't raise me up. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. In realms of authority. See, I double dog dare y'all to say this. I'll say it first and see if you got the courage and the moxie to say it. Try this on. Now, don't say it yet. Let me say it first because I don't want you to say anything you wouldn't agree with. See, just how raised from the dead are you? What if you used to say this? Can your religion stand it? Jesus, I'm just as raised from the dead as You are. My Lord, think about that. It says He's raised us up together. Raised us up together. Listen, do we keep seeing ourselves as this work partially being done? No, in the Spirit, the work is done. He has quickened you together with Him. He has raised you up together with Him. Yeah, but He only raised me partway. He only raised me partway. I know He must have only raised me partway. Is that right? Then how in God's name did He make you sit together? Together. In heavenly places in Him. How did he do? Wait, now I'm only partially raised. See, Jesus is full blown raised from the dead, but I'm kind of a blend. I'm kind of half Adam and half Jesus. Well, see, we'd never say that. But we act that way. And why do we act that way? Because we really think that way. But see, that's not what it says. And really, if you get into the real Greek tenses, and I'm not an expert, but I can read those experts that write those books. And they say the Greek tenses, see, there is no time with God. There is with us. So we have a hard time thinking about anything that's not linear time-wise, you know. But see, with God, you know, you do know Revelation says the day, or anyway, the Bible says, the day's going to come when time will be no more. God operates outside of time. And the experts, the linguistic experts in the Greek, they tell you that those three phrases there, what they really mean to God is this. The day he saw Jesus come out of the tomb, he saw you come out of the tomb with him. When he raised Jesus up, when he raised him up to heaven, he raised you up with him at the same time. When he seated Jesus in heavenly places, he seated you right next to him. Now, I got a feeling Jesus' throne is just a whole lot bigger than yours. Like Dave says, see, you get off, where people have gone crazy and nuts and start going around calling themselves Jesus Christ and stuff, as they start trying to identify with his deity. No, we're never, he alone is God. I got news for your head. I don't care what you quote heard. You're not God. He is. But in his glorified humanity, he has made us brethren. He is our Lord, absolutely. He's also your kinsman. You are related to him. How do I know that? You've got the same father. You got the same father. So if you can get this picture there, now here's God the Father, however you want to picture that throne. Right next to his, on his right hand side, is a really nice big throne. That's where Jesus sits. And then if you want to, I mean, at this stage in the game, if you want to see folding chairs from there on to the right to eternity, but you are seated there on that same plane. Now, you may be in a folding chair and he's in a throne, okay? Or like Brad said one time, I just love this, you may be seated so far out there that when they say, did you know the Lamb is here? You get your binoculars out and you go, yes, I think I see the Lamb. You know? I don't want to be that far from the throne, amen. But we are. But look what it says. It says we are quickened together with Christ. God has raised us up together with Him and made us sit together already, past tense, made us sit together with Him. Boy, all of a sudden this vision just exploded on the inside of me. And to help you with this, see, he's trying to get us to understand who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. Boy, if we can just get those three things straight, we're well on our way to getting some kingdom business done by the anointing of Almighty God. So in this vision, the way he started it off, I started seeing that scenario just like that. Okay, we're all up there. And then to help me, this is just for teaching purposes now, it would help. See, we get born again on the earth, have you noticed? But what if you had been born again? What if you had been born the first time in heaven? Now you weren't, but for teaching purposes, let's say you were. And you grew up there. And you never knew anything but heaven. And let's say, since there's no time, that you've lived in heaven for 1,000 years. You've had time to roam all around heaven, although you'd never see it all in just a measly 1,000 years. But you've seen enough of heaven to know that heaven's a real good place. You've had time to talk with Moses, Paul, King David, John the Apostle. Wouldn't that be something? You fellowship with the Lamb. You know angels on a first-name basis. You've lived in heaven for 1,000 years, and that's the environment that you know. That's all you've ever known. So that means you grew up with a mindset where everything is holy. Everything is righteous. You turn on the 6 o'clock news. I'm teaching now. You turn on the 6 o'clock news, and it's all good stuff. No rape, no murder, no thievery. See, that's the way God wants it. Our God is holy. Our God is righteous. He loves cleanness. He loves light. He loves good things. So let's say you grew up there for 1,000 years, and that's the environment that you're comfortable in. That's what you know. And one thing you know for sure, Jesus alone is Lord. You're His brother. You're His kinsman. You're related to Him. But only He is the God-man, in the sense of He is also deity. So our greatest desire, if the Lamb ever had something He wanted us to do, boy, that would be the greatest thing. We'd just gladly, if we have a little crown of any kind, we would just gladly toss our crown at His feet at the drop of a crown. If I have. See, have you got that scene there? Okay, and I'm just going to stick with this till we get all the way through it. So I keep seeing this scenario as an aid to understanding more completely that we are not of this world. We are sanctified from this present world even while we're living in it. We are quickened together with Christ, raised up together with Christ, and seated together with Christ. I see us all sitting next to Jesus in heaven. His throne is mighty compared to ours, signifying that He alone is Lord of all. But the point is, we're all seated together with Him in heaven. We have the same Spirit of Him within us as is in His glorified humanity. We are brethren, kinsmen, relatives of Jesus. We have the same Father. We are of the same family. We have the same nature as Jesus. We are all sons of God. Jesus is the firstborn and has preeminence over all. And each of us gladly casts our crown at His feet. Our greatest pleasure is to serve the Lamb who sits upon the throne. In the vision, I saw Him call us unto Himself. And He tells us that He has a mission for us to do on earth. And now, can y'all see everybody getting out of their seats? Jesus has called a meeting. So I see all of us getting out of our seats and crowding up around the throne. And He's standing there, and we're going to listen to what the Lamb has to say. He has an assignment for us. Can you see that in your spirit? All right. He tells us that He has a mission for us to do on earth. He says that it is the Father's desire that His ministry as Lord continue on earth, so that the Father's will can be done there, just like it's being done in heaven. And He tells us that there's many more people on earth to be saved, healed, and delivered. He tells us that He's going to send us to earth so that His ministry as Lord can continue there. Each of us will be given a mortal body that will camouflage us and make us appear as mere men. The mortal bodies we will be wearing are of a different nature. He's warning us. Now, the bodies you're going to be wearing are of a different nature than anything you've ever found in heaven. Those bodies are of fallen earth, and they have strong desires and lust for pleasure. He tells us we'll have to keep dominion over our mortal bodies by the strength of the nature of God that is within us. But these earth suits will allow us to work as guerrilla fighters on earth. We will appear to be sons of Adam, just like the lost people of the earth. And these mortal bodies will allow us to move upon the earth undetected as sons of God. We'll be able to infiltrate every race and every economic strata of man in order that the Lamb's ministry as Lord may continue unabated through us. He tells us that it's paramount that we remember that the whole reason for Him sending us to earth is so that His work as Lord can be continued through each one of us. He is not sending us to be lords in our own right. He is sending us so His lordship can be worked through us. And He warns each of us not to set any agendas of our own. He alone will direct His lordship to each and every one of us. So one of the group asked the question, Lord, since You'll be here in heaven and we'll be on the earth, how will we know what You want to do through us each day? And the Lord answers by saying, each of you is well equipped. Each of you is well acquainted with the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He's going to go with you. He's going to go eat with each and every one of you. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. He continually hears my instructions in heaven and will reveal them to you on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. You will not lack for instruction, knowledge, or wisdom. You'll have no trouble at all distinguishing His voice, for, after all, you are Spirit-born children from heaven, and it's more natural for you to hear news from home than to hear any other voice on earth. I'm sending you into the world, but don't ever forget, you're not of the world. The life that is in each of you is from me, and it's the same life I received from the Father when I was raised from the dead. That life within you is of God. And as you hear my instruction from the Holy Spirit, and then obey that instruction through words and action, the Holy Spirit will be there to exercise the dominion of my Lordship upon the life within you, just as if I were personally speaking and acting on earth myself. You are my agents of authority on the earth. You speak and you act in my stead. The Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power on the earth. And when you speak and act in my name, in accordance with the instructions I give you, the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit will move to cause the restoration of the fallen earth realm back to the original intent and purpose of the Father in heaven. By this process, all things are possible. This is how the Father's will is to be done on earth, and this is how my ministry as Lord will continue through you. This is how you will bear much fruit. This is how you'll be my disciple. My ministry as Lord has not ended. It is expanded to function through each of you. The mission has not changed. Through you, I will still be seeking and saving the lost, healing the sick, casting out devils, and restoring the fallen material realm to the original intent and purpose of the Father for mankind. Never forget this. The Spirit of life within you is that which you received from me. The nature within you is completely free from the law of sin and death that dominates fallen man on earth. That law of sin and death has absolutely no dominion over you at all. My nature of righteousness is infinitely stronger than the nature of sin and death that is within the sons of Adam. Never forget this. Nothing on fallen earth has any dominion over you. Not sin, not sickness, not devils, not poverty. By the way, I take full responsibility for meeting any needs you will encounter as you allow my lordship to be exercised through you. If you need anything, simply ask the Father in my name, and He will give it to you. There's no reason for you to ever worry about a thing. So now, go in my name. Allow my ministry as Lord to continue through you. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. I'm sending you into the world, but don't ever forget, you are not of it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, while your thinking's there, you don't have to turn there. Let me read you part of his high priestly prayer in John 17. This is verses 15 through 20. He says, Father, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Now you know what he's talking about. He is talking about real sanctification. Because we have his life within us. That's what keeps us sanctified from the evil of this fallen world. That's how the Father does it, through the life that's been given to us. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Does that ring a bell? I am the way, the life, and the truth. How did He sanctify us? By His truth. The Logos is the truth. His life is what you have in you that keeps us separate from the world. The same strength He kept separate from the world by. And as Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And this is that verse. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. Why? Why? Why are you doing this? That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Meaning, the life within me. I am the truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. How did He really set you free from sin? I had another little vision one day. Pondering that guy in Romans 7. The unregenerate man who wanted to keep God's law and couldn't do it. He wanted to though. And he kept trying. But every time he tried, failed. Why? Had no new nature. Romans 7. He kept trying. He says, with my mind I want to do it, but I can't find the strength to do it. And every time I set myself to not do that, that's what I wind up doing. And when I want to do this good thing, then I wind up not doing that. Oh, wretched man. And he's crying out just like in Romans 7. And I saw this little vision. And I saw him instantly transported to heaven. And there he is caterwauling like that right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, stop it, stop it, stop it. And he says, tell you what. If I just let you have my life, and for the rest of your time on earth, you can just live by my life, would that be enough to keep you from sin? That was a weak yeah. Would that be enough? I says, you're right, I understand that you can't. But if I was to give you my life, that's the strength that kept me from it. If I give you my life, would that be enough for you to walk sanctified? Hallelujah. That's really the gospel. We're just now really finding it out. Hallelujah. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And I love this. Thank God He didn't forget us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Tim, that's us. He got us. Hallelujah. All right. Now that, if you weren't here at 8:30, that was pretty much 8:30, but we touched on some other things like trash. It'd be worth you getting the tape anyhow. Let's move on now. Now y'all, if we could really get our minds transformed to think like that scenario is true, I'm telling you it really is. We are on assignment from heaven. If we could renew our mind to that, our whole outlook on life would be radically different. And let me give you some examples. If that had happened that way, and you came to this planet with that mindset, the Lordship of Jesus would be paramount in your thinking all the time. I mean, you'd know you're on assignment from the Lamb. You would not be trying to map out your own life for yourself. And you'd only seek His plan for you instead. That would do away with a lot of agendas. It would do away with a lot of man's programs. It would do away with a lot of your programs that really don't have anything to do with the kingdom of God. Your plans, your agendas. Well, what I want to do with my life, at the end of my life, I want to wind up with a 5,000 square foot house in Tahiti. He's not necessarily against that, but is that the assignment you got from the Lamb? That's why He sent you here, is it? Now, He's not against anything. I mean, everything was made by Him and for Him. I like the way that He said it to Kenneth Hagin. He says, you do understand I didn't make all this stuff for the devil's kids. See? And He didn't. But what's our life about? See, if we had this scenario firmly in our mind, we understood we were basically on assignment from the Lamb on earth. Our number one thinking all the time would be the Lord's plan for our individual life. Isn't that right? All right, let's look at another one. How would you see other believers? It might help you to think about this. Think about the day when he dispatched us. He says, all right, now all of you go. I'm sending you. Again, the Lord deals with me very, very low. So in my mind, I see us in these, we're like a massive invading army coming in airplanes from heaven to earth. Each one of us is piloting one of these little gospel airplanes, and here we come. We're headed towards earth, okay? All right. Now, what would you think about the people? I mean, as far as you're concerned, it's war. You're coming as an invading force. Because the whole planet has been taken over by a mad dog Hitler type called the devil. Okay? And the whole earth is under subjection, and our job is to come and rescue as many as we possibly can. But we know it's going to be war. How would you feel about your brethren, your fellow comrades in arms, in those other airplanes? You think unity might be the order of the day? Because we're all on the same mission? Boy, if we could start getting this mindset, there's going to be less division, less murmuring, less complaining. You're going to quit talking ugly about me? Hopefully I've already quit talking ugly about you. Because, you know that little deal we've done before? Long before I ever had this, where we'd link arms and I'd say, look to the person on your right, you are my fellow soldier. You know, hey, when you're in a trench and the enemy's bearing down on you, that's no time to be disagreeing with your fellow soldier. You guys are dependent on each other for your very lives. If the body of Christ knew it, so are we. We're on the same mission. We're on the same assignment. But we get all, well anyway. I only do so much in one night. But wouldn't that change how we see other believers? Now see, he's softening me. You know how I am. I get a little bitter sometimes about the way the doctrines I was raised under, because so much of it was wrong. Like they taught me tongues was of the devil. Taught it to me strong. All right, I've had a hard time forgiving that, just to be honest with you. It kept me isolated from my teacher most of my life. Okay? But now that I'm starting to see this, I'm having to change my view a little bit, because I'll tell you one thing, them old boys down there in Pottawatomie County at that same church where they taught me that, they get a lot of guys saved. They get a lot of drunkard husbands saved. And they don't go back to the booze either. Now they may never cast out a devil, they may never raise the dead. But that old boy there, he'll go tell somebody else about Jesus. And ultimately that's what this is all about. He's starting to change me a little bit. How I see those guys in those other airplanes. Wait a minute. We're all on the same mission. Now the devil's done a really good job at fragmenting us into little bitty camps instead of operating as a mighty army. But still yet, them old boys in that camp, they're trying to get people saved just like we are in our camp. I better change how I look at them. All right? All right, now again, if we could really have this solid in us, if our mind was renewed to this, we'd see ourselves as an invading force from heaven. You might like this. Here we come. We're coming, seeking the saved and the lost. We're coming from heaven. There's all these airplanes. Can you see us coming? Tell me if you can see us coming. Hundreds and thousands and millions of airplanes coming from heaven to earth, and the whole idea is we're going to liberate these people from the devil. Isn't that right? But all of a sudden, the devil saw us coming. And like in a movie, here comes missiles being fired. Here comes shots being fired and anti-aircraft guns, and all kinds of stuff. What form do they take? Sin, sickness, poverty, cares, persecutions and afflictions, all that stuff you'd understand. Oh, that's just the missiles being fired from the enemy at our invading army. He's trying to stop us, that's all. You'd recognize that it's the enemy that sends all that stuff. All what stuff? Sin. Trying to get you to do it. Sickness. Trying to take you off the planet or at least neutralize your testimony. Poverty. Hey, it's horrible to have a heart to preach the gospel and no money to preach it with. That's the devil. God didn't put all this wealth and abundance on this earth so His kids could be too poor to preach the gospel. For crying out loud, all that poverty doctrine you ever heard in your life is the devil! God does not believe in it. Jesus carried a treasure over the bag for the specific purpose of giving to the poor. Don't tell me he likes the stuff. Doesn't either. So we would see all of that. See, we'd find Mark 4 told us that the whole time. Jesus told us in Mark 4, he said, persecutions, afflictions, the cares of this world. He said, all of that stuff's coming for one reason only. What's it coming for? To choke the word. In this scenario, it would mean to stop you from fulfilling your assignment from the Lamb. Here you come as an invading force. No missile whizzes by your left ear. Whew, boy, you dodged your little airplane and missed that. Said, you looked on the side of that missile and it said leukemia. Or some other damnable thing that the devil would send. See? Another one goes by. Car wreck. On the side of that one. All that stuff is only for one reason, Mark 4 says. To choke the word. That means get you to stop your assignment. From fulfilling your assignment from heaven. We start seeing things in their right perspective instead of listening to people say, well, God put that sickness on you to perfect you. No, the devil put that sickness on you to stop you. Take you off the earth if you're not careful. How's Dave do that? That's all he does. He's not good at anything else. He doesn't do anything else. He steals. He kills. And he destroys. And I'm not doing it near as good as Dave, but anyway. All that stuff we would understand. We would understand none of that comes from our Father. No, are you kidding? I've told y'all how many times. You are his hope in the earth. Faith speaks on this wise. Faith does not say, send Jesus again. No, faith believes. See, real faith, it says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. And that's really what we're talking about. On the earth, as he is, so are we in this world. See? We're on a mission from him. And all that sin, sickness, poverty, cares, persecutions, and afflictions, we should see every one of them. Everything that comes at you. Oh, that's from the enemy. I'm going to stop that in Jesus' name. That's from the enemy. No. Jesus already told me. This earth and nothing on it has any dominion over me. Not sickness, not poverty, not devils. Death has no dominion over me. Now he said, he says, don't fear those people that can kill the body and then that's all they can do. See, for you that almost be graduation day. I mean, we are here to serve him. But the worst that can happen to you, they might be able to kill the body. And you get to go back to heaven. Horrible, isn't it? Even Paul said, he says, to depart and be with Christ is far better. But for your sakes, I'll stay. It's better for you that I stay. Because for me, to stay is Christ. For me to live is Christ. So as long as we're here, we're on assignment. What assignment? Christ living through you. Christ loving through you. Christ saving through you. Christ delivering through you. And Christ prospering through you. Prospering others, I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And the worst that could happen, they might could kill the body. But Jesus said, the real you, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Don't forget, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. That's our mentality. Boy, that makes you pretty fearless. Anyway, y'all are looking. I don't know whether you're liking this, paying attention. You're just very quiet tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so again, seeing ourselves as really an invading force from heaven. Don't you know we would perceive the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things as mere bribes from the enemy to get us to turn traitor from our call? Didn't he use the very same thing on Jesus? Bow down before me, and I'll give you all the riches of this world. Wasn't he trying to make a traitor out of Jesus? Trying to get Jesus to turn from the assignment of the Father? You think he's not going to try it on you? Just be a nice little Christian. Be a nice little first church Christian. Stop all this casting out devils talk. Stop all this Tulsa is saved stuff. Just be a nice little Christian. Don't ever talk to anybody about Jesus. Religion is very personal, you know. Just be nice and sweet, you know, and run after money, and I'll make you very wealthy, and you can, you know, and you'll die with a house in Tahiti. Traitor. Traitor to the cross of Jesus Christ. Traitor. Turncoat. Fool. That's very seldom do you hear Jesus call anybody a fool. But he called that rich man a fool. The one that was rich, but not rich toward God. The one that every time a bigger harvest comes in, he said, it's mine, all mine, this is all about me. I know what I'll do, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. Jesus said, thou fool, this very night, your soul is required of you. Then who's that stuff going to belong to? So is everyone that is rich in this world, but not rich toward God. Well, we on assignment. We understand what... Say this with me. I know who I am.
I know who I am.
I know where I'm from. And I know why I'm here.
I know why I'm here.
And I can't be bought.
I can't be bought.
Hallelujah. See, if we can really get this, if this was our driving motivation all the time, boy, we'd be free from so much stuff that the world and most of Christianity has to fight with. All right? Now get this one. Here we are. We've landed now. We're ground troops. We're invading. We're invading now, see? And so we see each one of us, we each see each other as fellow soldiers, comrades in arms on the same mission for the same Lord. But yet those missiles, now remember what they are. The enemy, what he fires back is sin, sickness, so forth. All right, now, with that mindset, a brother right to the right of us, suddenly, in the natural, we would compare it to getting shot. He gets wounded, falls to the ground. Now, in our scenario, he would fall into sin. Because that's what the devil's shooting. Temptation. Or sickness. Or deception. But something. If we saw our brother fall, it would probably be because of one of those three things. Sin, sickness, or deception of some kind. Isn't that right? And we would perceive that as being a fellow soldier being shot down by the enemy. Rather than pass judgment on him. And we would immediately start a rescue mission. We'd be like a MASH unit for Christ. You know, somebody said one time, said the church is the only hospital that shoots its wounded. And the Bible says if a brother be taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. But now we go around judging them. Well, you know, in a real war, if it was you, and you got shot right through the left lung, do you want your other soldiers walking over to you and saying, boy, you shouldn't have got shot? Now, that's going to do you a lot of good, isn't it? How come you to get yourself shot like that? We're just going to leave you here for the worms, you know? We're going to go on. You ain't nothing. You got yourself shot, didn't you? What kind of army is that? How stupid have we been? We have no mindset of what's really this is gospel is all about. Hey, the devil's firing that stuff, and if you think it's not tempting, you think you're not ever going to fall, my Bible says you better watch that. You know, you better watch that lest you do fall. Let him that thinks he stands. You better be careful about that. Judging everybody, thinking you're such a spiritual hot rod. Hey, he may have a brand of sin or deception even you haven't seen before. If it's me that gets shot, come after me, y'all. Don't leave me there. And when we see our brother or sister get shot with sin, with sickness, poverty, deception, man, we ought to be a mobile MASH unit for Christ. I mean, right in the field, start giving mouth-to-mouth and blood transfusions if it's out of our own arm. which normally means out of your own wallet. I'm bleeding. Where from? The wallet. It's going to take money to restore this sheep. We'll give him an intravenous transfusion. Right. You don't own anything anyway. I thought you were on assignment. What do you mean your wallet? Okay, now, so that would change how we'd see our brothers, wouldn't it? And it would change how we would perceive it if they fell to some sin or some deception, wouldn't it? Now watch this. You're going to like this. How would we see sinners? I'm talking about people that aren't born again. What would our perception of those, you know, the ones that the Pharisees despised? They despised Jesus just because he'd go eat with them. Well, he eats with these, they can hardly get the word. I can just hear it when I read that. He eats with, he eats with sinners. You can just hear the, they're like, they can't conceive of such a horrible thing, you know. And if you're not careful, religion will make you that way. How would we see sinners? These are the ones Jesus sent us to liberate from the devil. They're the ones we're risking everything to save. They're the ones why we're here. It changes your whole attitude towards them. Yeah, but they're ugly and they smell bad and they sin. I know. That's why he sent us. He wants to love them through you into the kingdom. We would never perceive a sinner as being our enemy. He's the one you came to set free. Now, there's an enemy, all right. It's the one that's got dominion over that sinner. But that sinner's never your enemy. Jesus sent you to rescue that guy. Wouldn't that change how we look at things? I wrote that twice. It's so good I wrote it twice. We would never perceive... Oh, I'll tell you another thing, too. While we're in the process, I didn't read it twice. No. Here's another way it would change our perception. All right? Now, see, I'm going to do this because everybody in the church knows this is ridiculous. Mary, I need you up here for just a minute. Here's Mary, one of those vile sinners. So, I knew that would get a reaction. If we have anybody in the church that's conformed to Christ, it's Mary Corbett. All right, now see? So let's say that she's one of those vile sinners, you see? All right? And the Lord, I get my assignment, and he says, one of the things I want you to do is come rescue. Come rescue Mary Corbett. She's under tyranny of the devil, I tell you. Come rescue. Come love Mary. So I come and I try and rescue Mary. And she claws at me and scratches at me and beats me up. My eye, you know. So I'm going, I need some help. So I go to one of my fellow believers now. I say, you're going to have to help me rescue this one. This is a mean one over here. And now how do I look at my fellow believer? Aren't we comrades in arms? Now let's say she has a different way of doing this than I would normally do it. Now all of a sudden do I perceive her as my enemy? When we're both just trying to rescue the same person? Mary, you're saved. Really, you are. It's okay. Didn't she do good? Hallelujah. You can be seated. You can be seated. Not only would we not see sinners as our enemy, we wouldn't see each other as our enemy. Man, the devil has done a good job of pulling the wool over our eyes. Good job. Good job of pulling the wool over our eyes. We would understand it is that the enemy is the devil, and that means his principalities, his powers, the rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits in heavenly places. That, and that alone, is our enemy. That's why it says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. I don't care how ugly. I don't care how nasty. I don't care how mean that person is to you. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do to you. If they're wearing flesh and blood, if they're in an earth suit, they are not your enemy. They are the ones Jesus sent you to rescue. And your enemy is the one that's manipulating them. And if you can love them enough, let me put it this way, if his love can flow through you enough, even to that one, that's the only shot they ever have of getting saved. And we've got to see it that way. I love my good neighbors. I love my ugly neighbors. I love my bad neighbors. Because Jesus, you're trying to save them all. Isn't that in there? Isn't that in there? Now get this. Boy, David has taught us on this and taught us, but I never saw it so clear until I got it in this vision. Remember that, how he always tells it? Well, let me read it first. It would be inconceivable for us to harm those whom Jesus sent us to save. It would be inconceivable. Remember him telling us that story about that lady that come in and announced she was a prophet? You know? And, no, she was an intercessor. Great intercessor for the lost. And then he found out that she was suing some old sinner boy because a little bit of his, that chemical they were spraying, he was in the bug spraying business, I think, may have drifted over her yard and caused her some damage. So she's going to destroy this old boy in court. Dave says, you're no intercessor. Because the same place in you that would intercede for his lost soul, you're trying to tell me in that same place, you're willing to destroy him for money? See, John tells us if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. No murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It would be inconceivable for us. I mean, knowing, if we had stood before the Lamb, if we had stood there and heard his words, seen his eyes, you know, somehow he's God. Somehow each one of us would have seen his eyes looking directly into ours. Don't you know that would be a piercing gaze? He says, I'm seeking you, I'm sending you to seek and to save the lost. Send us. After seeing him and hearing those words, and then us harm one of those lost that he sent us to save. They could nail you on a cross before you'd hurt them. You'd remember his words. You'd remember that look in his eye. You'd also might remember the hole in his side and the scars in his hand. Say, well, if he was willing to do that, and he could have called 12 legions of angels. There's nothing I'm going to do to hurt him, I'll tell you that. Sure is quiet in this church tonight. All right, here's another one. In that scenario, if when you woke up every morning, if that had really happened in your life, I mean, if that scenario had taken place and we were heavenly minded like that, every day when you woke up, you'd be absolutely convinced that you're not of this world. Wouldn't you? I mean, you just wake up and go, well, immediately your thoughts would turn toward heaven. I love you, Father. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Holy Spirit. We're on assignment here today. I can't hardly wait to hear your instructions, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do today. One thing I know for sure, I'm not of this world. I'm not confused about that. I'm from heaven. I'm just on assignment here. Wouldn't that be a way to live? We could not be convinced. Now get this. If that scenario had really happened, no one could convince you that your righteous nature. Now I'm still working. I am on a path of transformation. I'm not preaching to you as someone who has arrived, and you know that. Those that know me well know this one is particularly funny to me. Here's the scenario. I won't read it. I'm just going to tell you. Here's Jesus. He sends us to earth, right? We grew up in heaven. We've been there 1,000 years. He's sending us here. And he says, now one thing about it, when you get there, you're going to have to put on this earth suit. It's a body from the earth, and I hate to tell you this, but it's just full of lust. It's full of cravings. It's full of desires. It's got the fall. It's nothing like it in heaven. You're not accustomed to warning you. There's nothing like this. You've never been around anything like this. And as we're going, you know, because we think we know what we're doing. Oh, yeah, I can handle it, Jesus. You get to earth. And, you know, in my mind, I can just see we get to earth and almost like a spacesuit, we step into a body. This is our earth suit. And in this vision, I saw it. As soon as I stepped into it, the body grabbed me by the throat going, sin! Sinned! I want to sin! And we want to jump back out of it. What kind of crazy mad dog thing is this? You know, and it's going, you know, I want to steal! Let's lie to somebody. Come on, let's lie to somebody. You know, I want to commit adultery and fornication. I'm going, God, there's nothing like this in heaven. And not only that, the thing's got a will of its own. It starts dragging you off to sin, you know. And you're going, wait a minute, you know. And she said, did Jesus say, oh yeah, the strength of my new nature, the strength of my nature in me? Nobody in the body's going, what? I'll sin if I want to. I'm of this world. And you're going, yeah, but I'm not. I'm from above. I do not let sin reign in my mortal body. I do not obey my body in the lust thereof. I'm working on that one my own self, y'all. But I thought it was off. I thought, boy, that'd make a novel. That'd make one of those science fiction things. We sent somebody into outer space. When they got there, they put on their suits to walk on the planet, and the suits took them over. These suits have some kind of nature. They just control these guys from that point on. I said, well, you know, that's about as ridiculous. Because we have no concept of who we are. We have not understood the born-again trail. We're basically doing that. We don't understand who we are, where we're from, or why we're here. We don't understand that we're getting there. Thank God for Dave Robeson and the born-again trail. We're starting to get it. You know, we start getting there. See, and that's what it takes. It takes the growing up, the consciousness, the awareness of the new nature within, because it is in there. But see, if our soul has never really been transformed to that. See, the sad part about this whole deal is we didn't get to grow up in heaven. That's the really sad part. We've never, how many of y'all been there? Benefit of the tape, no hands are going up. I mean, really been there to the third heaven. You been? Well, praise God, we got to talk. Anyway, most of us have not. Most of us have not. I've never been there. Bobby Anion did this one time. I thought it was cute. He says, what, you've never been to heaven? No. Do you have any friends that's been to heaven? I used to say no. I've got one now. But, you know, I say, well, usually no. Well, which direction is it? That way, we point up. He says, you do understand that a Chinese believer on the other side of the world, when they point that way, you know, they point up, point in the opposite direction. Yet you do believe there's a heaven? How do you know there's a heaven? You ever had any friends be there? No. You ever been there yourself? No. How do you know there's a heaven? Well, the Bible says so. And he says, that's called faith. And everything the Bible says, if you can believe it the same way you believe in heaven, you'll be just fine. If he says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, bless the Lord God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If he says that sin nature has been destroyed and you now have the Spirit of life within you, if it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death, bless God, you're free. Dave's been telling us, the first step is you've got to know deep down. Now maybe you're not walking free yet, but the first step is you've got to know that nature He put in you sets you free from that law of sin and death. Now God, as long as you're giving God that mustard seed faith and you're diligent about doing the things, you know, praying in tongues, meditating the Word, confessing the Word, doing the things that will cause that nature to grow, from experience I can tell you God's grace is very long-suffering. And God forbid you be judging people that's in that process. You can't see their heart. But getting back to us as a whole, what a ridiculous thing to think our earth suit could take us over. But the church at large has pretty much, because we're so uneducated, our mind is so unrenewed to who we really are, our bodies have just run roughshod over us. It'd be like an earth suit taking over the spaceman, a spacesuit taking over the spaceman and controlling the shots. Never in a million years. All right, got a couple more. Getting close to 9. Hallelujah. We would consider the treasures of this world had we grown up in heaven. You ever read about heaven? Jasper walls, diamond doorknobs. We fight wars over gold. They use it for asphalt. Pave the roads with it. If we really knew who we were, where we're from, and why we're here, we would never consider the treasures of this world to be anything but trash when compared with the riches of heaven, our home. Can you imagine the devil, if you had that mindset? He's trying to tempt you with the wealth of this world. And you say, why are you trying to tempt me with trash? I know who I am. I know where I'm from. I know why I'm here. There's nothing on this earth. Gold is only asphalt to me. Why would you try and tempt me with trash? Hallelujah. And I'll close with this one. What does it mean when I say in closing? Nothing at all. That's right. You guys are good students. Hallelujah. Now this one I really like. I saved one of the best ones for last. If we had the mindset presented in this sent from heaven thing, do you understand that worry would be a lost art? Worry would be a lost art. If you knew that all the resources of heaven, all the angels of God, not only that, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, came with you, and the devil goes, boo, with some kind of circumstances. Yet, if we had our minds renewed to this, are you kidding? We go, boo your own self. You better get back, Jack. Do you see who's with me? Do you understand the size of my heavenly checkbook? I have access to infinite resources. You come and try and give me a little boo in the financial realm, I'll show you a boo, Father, and you just ask whatever it is you need to accomplish your mission. What soldier worries? Don't soldiers just turn in their requests? Don't they make requisition from headquarters? What do you think Jesus meant when he says, now if you have any need, in my name, ask the Father. That's headquarters. In my name, ask the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, he'll give it to you. That should set us as soldiers completely free forever that we'd ever have lack of resources. Not only lack of resources financially, but we'd never lack for resources of any kind. Peace, love, joy, right in the midst of the worst hell the devil could throw. Again, the storms may be beating on your bivouac. Beating on the, what are they called, barracks? Beating on the barracks where you're stationed. But see, you're inside at peace, full of joy, because you know that you have done what your commanding officer has sent you to do. Responsibility for your safety is totally his, not yours. Why would you ever worry about a thing? Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? I'm not just preaching to the choir, am I? See, I see ramifications in this for every calling. It doesn't, you know, there's so much in here. It wouldn't make any difference whether he's called you to be a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, ministry of help, exhorter, simplicity of giving, mercy. It doesn't matter what he's called you to be. The thing of it is, if we can ever get this mindset, you really don't care. It eliminates all of that competition. Well, you know, our church grew by Zama members this week, and your church went down by about the same number, I noticed, you know. We could give a rip. Did we do what he told us last week? That's all that counts. Are we doing what he told us? Are we being about our master's business? Do we understand we're on assignment? See? Plus, once we understand that our lives are totally about his will, people speaking ugly to you don't mean a thing. You don't care anything about the honor of man anymore. Only thing you want to hear at the end of every day is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what I told you. You did good. I'm going to tell you some more stuff tomorrow. Isn't that good stuff? I'm absolutely convinced this is the mindset Jesus lived by. He knew who he was. He knew where he was from. He knew why he was here. Could not be bribed, could not be bought, could not be diverted. He said, Satan has nothing in me. I'm starting to understand that a little bit. You know, in that new nature, in your spirit, Satan has nothing? That is from God. That is, he has nothing in us, in our spirit. It's that soul realm. We got to watch that dude. Now, another night, we're going to teach on love, not the world. Neither the things that be in the world, for those things are not of the Father. We're going to teach on that. See, because you can be born again, but I'm telling you right now, if you still have a lot of love for the world and the ways of the world, the devil can do a lot to manipulate you. especially when it comes to the things of ego, comparing ourselves with ourselves. Paul said that's not wise. Comparing ourselves with ourselves. When they said this ugly thing about me, and they de-exalted me from my lofty position. Well, if you put yourself there, you needed to be de-exalted in the first place. But see, in Christ, you have no position. And it makes no difference whether he has you high up in the echelons of the church or vacuum in the floor. In him, you have no position. You have service. Your greatest joy is to serve the Lamb. I tell you what, we're in for a ride. We have got, to me, the Lord's probably, to me, this is life-changing. I go through this every day and I think and I pray about this. How does this change my life? And it's just changing me and changing me. And I think the Lord's probably looking down going, these children. If Gary thinks this is a heavy revy, wait till we get to the good stuff. Wait till we get to that opening blind eyes anointing talk. See? But my goodness, we're going to at least have to know who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. Quit going down rabbit trails and thinking it's God. Quit going down ego-feeding trails and thinking it's ministry. You know? I better quit, hadn't I? Just say this with me one time. It's good for you. It won't hurt you a bit. Say, I'm not confused about who I am, where I'm from, or why I'm here. Satan has nothing in me. Nothing in my new nature. There's nothing in me that loves the world. I'm not of the world. And since I don't love the world, nor the things in the world, I can't be bought. I can't be bribed. I cannot be diverted from the mission Jesus sent me on. He sent me into the world just like the Father sent him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get that mindset. We're going to get that mindset. Hallelujah. No, I think you're okay, Andre. I think you're okay. I motioned for her to come up, and I don't think so. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, I know you're teaching us as children. But Lord, that's how we need to learn. We need to grow up and not be like children. We need to put away the toys. Time to be about our Father's business. Lord, I'm thankful that you make it simple, where even the wayfaring fool cannot misunderstand it. But Lord, more than the teaching, we need to be conformed to the teaching. We need to understand this is who we are. We need to know where we're from. We need to know why we're here. It eliminates so much of the enemy's diversion. So Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you not only for the ones that are here tonight, but I thank you for the ones that will hear this message by tape. And Lord, change us all. Cause us to walk in this understanding. Lord, above all things at the end of our life, we want to say with Paul, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. I have apprehended that for which Jesus apprehended me. We want to hear from him, Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for these people, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.